I'm Steve Benson.
Oh, we're doing this again? And I'm Paul Schultz.
And this is the Don't Panic Radio Show. Nothing you're about to hear is true. It's true. Before we get too far into this, I have a list of apologies I need to get through here. And I figure if I do it ahead of time, then it won't be the white elephant hanging in the room. the 300-pound white elephant?
Yes. Why has it got to be a white elephant?
Who you call it fat?
You can't hang a black elephant. That's racist.
Who you call it white? Okay, starting with, I have now been the cause of and solution to two regularly scheduled episodes being missed in a row. So we're on an every 2 week little schedule here. Both times my fault. So that's apology number one.
Well, our audience has gotten used to lengthy breaks sometimes. So I think 2 weeks won't hurt them.
It's true. And I'll talk about why in a little bit. I think I've been pretty open on Facebook. So I think people are probably already aware of this latest one, but we'll get to that. Second, I would like to apologize. This is a direct result of the last episode that we published. I would like to apologize to teachers. There was no ill will was meant when we talked about them not having taught us about some very basic things in American history and how George Washington and Robert E. Lee are connected, and that they built Arlington National Cemetery on the grounds of Robert E. Lee's estate that had once been owned by George Washington's grandson. Now, one of our listeners called us out because, teaching's hard, man. They're all heroes, okay?
Support
every single one of them.
Support the teachers.
Support the teachers. They're all heroes. Right? Even the ones that couldn't think of anything else to study in school, and they're just like, I'll try teaching. And they're only doing it because they couldn't think of anything else to do, and they actually hate it, and they hate kids. They show up every day, yell at the kids. Even they're heroes.
Like right? Mr. Hand from Fast Times at Ridgemont High.
All right. So there. Apologies, yada, yada. Next, I'd like to apologize to all aspiring cardiothoracic surgeons.
And you know who you are.
Especially the preteen I called out last week. The one who obviously, she watched as someone had a heart attack in the middle of a theater. And somebody brought one of those plastic sporks and a straw and a wadded up popcorn bag, and they were able to save this person using only their cardiothoracic knowledge and these MacGyver-esque tools. All right, so my apologies.
That bag is just and then a popcorn seed gets caught in the tube. I said a clean popcorn bag.
Is there just a pulmonary surgeon in the house? Damn it, Jim, I'm a cardiothoracic surgeon, not a pulmonary gastroenteritis expert. Everybody's so specialized these days. Speaking of which, so that's my apology to all aspiring cardiothoracic surgeons, which apparently is just a heart surgeon. Why she couldn't have said heart surgeon is beyond me.
Because that's what mom and dad wrote on the cue card.
Oh, good point.
Who are, they're probably right. Also cardiothoracic surgeons because they love dinosaurs.
Speaking of cue cards, I would also like to apologize to all aspiring nurse midwives and aspiring male nurse midwives.
And you know who you are.
Wouldn't that be mid-husbands?
Mid-husband?
I mean...
That's my ex-wife. She's mid-husband right now.
She's mid-husband. Her current future ex-husband. Okay, as an aside on the apology to aspiring nurse midwives, and I'll just apologize in advance on this one, but go ahead and do it anyway. How do you think little Polly V feels about his big sister being the first girl to see him naked?
I'm thinking traumatized.
Not exactly sure how old he is. I'll have to go look at Facebook or something. I probably should know. But since Paul's around our age.
I believe didn't he graduate with you?
Either with me or the year after.
Yeah, maybe the year after you. Okay.
Yeah.
So 48-ish.
But unless he married like a super young... Well, maybe he did, because that brings me to my next apology, which is to Pauly V's wife, however young and spry she might be. And my apology to Pauly V's wife is for having married a wimp. And I'm, you know, he sends us those things as private messages and not as a group. He doesn't put them on the group, mm-hmm. I assume, because he doesn't want the group to know exact, like, all of his business. Mm-hmm. So... I won't get into exactly why I'm calling him a wimp or why I'm apologizing to his wife, but, and maybe he's not a wimp. He's just different, you know? Different people make different decisions. But I just want to say, my wife wouldn't have finished the word Velcro before I would have been ripping off my, like, chemical engineer outfit, right? Full Monty style. Like, I've been like Magic Mike.
You got the tearaway like, pants.
I forgot the Velcro. Who needs Velcro? Where are your girlfriends at? She's like, no, the bachelorette party isn't for another couple months. Oh, well, I got to practice.
That's right.
Plus, now these are ripped in exactly the right place now. Yeah. I just got to put the Velcro on. All right. So sorry, Pauly V's wife. I don't know if she listens, but, you know, maybe Paul can pass along our apology to her.
You know, is it just me, though? Maybe it is, but wait, he sent us the picture of his child being born, right? And he blocked yeah. out that nurse. For some reason, by blocking out that nurse, he made that, in my mind, he's made that nurse, like, really, really hot. Now, I can't figure out, did he blacken it out because she's hot, or did he blacken it out because she's ugly and he wanted me to think she was hot? Because, you know, everything around the blacking out is aesthetically pleasing. So unless it goes bad really fast once it gets around the cheekbones, I'm dying to know. And I love that he sent it to us, you know, in a private message, but he had the tact to blacken her out. Like, well, she's not involved in this story.
I like that that's what you noticed.
That's immediately where my mind went.
I guess when I saw it, I thought, is that Paul holding the baby? No, I guess that would be his wife. Yeah. Holding the baby. And then there's his, what is she, like 8-year-old daughter?
Something like that, yeah.
Again, here we are violating his privacy. Apparently, though, I'm looking at the clock in the background and they just bought it 5 minutes ago because it's showing 10:15. Or his child was born around 10:15. One of the two.
One of those yeah, is probably nurse, true.
Maybe, I don't know. Maybe it's a privacy thing. Maybe he didn't know whether... That nurse wanted to, just, I don't know. Anyway, nice picture. I don't understand, but there you go. All right. Well, that's my list. I'm sure I've created a whole new list by now. How was your several weeks?
Not filled with apologies, because I don't apologize for nothing. Which I probably...
This is either the Canadian episode or the mea culpa episode, depending on whether you're Latin or Canadian.
It was pretty cool. It's been pretty cool. It's been long. I mean, it seems like a week takes 2 weeks to get here because, you know, we go from Wednesday to Wednesday, and I'm like, is it Wednesday yet? No, that's next Wednesday. But no, it's been pretty good. We have been kind of eventful. Yeah. Typical, you know, here I am, it's summer, and everything is insane around here, which is part of the, it's not just on you, because when you messaged me last week about not being able to record, I'm like, yeah, because I had been up since like 4 o'clock that morning, and I would have been a zombie through it, so, you know, these things happen.
Yeah, yeah, we don't need no stinking zombies.
Nope. We'll save that for the Halloween shows.
Speaking of Halloween shows, how's the radio play coming?
It's coming along pretty well. I've just about got it thought out from start to finish in my head. The one thing I realized when I sat down and started working on it was, like, I'm figuring it's going to be about 45 minutes long, and I've been doing a lot of research, which basically entails listening to a bunch of radio shows. There's an awful lot of talking in these radio shows. So I have to come up with a balance of characters versus dialogue, but it's coming along well. I hope to have the first draft written in about another 2 weeks.
That would put us starting to record in about July.
which is about right. One of the highlights of the past 2 weeks, though, was after almost 30 years, you know you're old when you can tell your kids you haven't seen a friend in 30 years. Because they, you know, my 10-year-old can't contemplate 30 years.
Right.
My friend Adam, who, if you remember from speaking of the Halloween show, Adam did the voice work for the 24 Steps. It was his story. Well, he lives out in Los Angeles, and his dad lives here in Indiana. And he messaged me. He's like, "Hey, I'm coming into Michigan City for a couple days." So we decided to get together and hang out, and tried getting a hold of Andy D, but he's in Wisconsin eating cheese, so he couldn't make it.
He's in Wisconsin eating every goddamn thing, apparently.
He's putting cheese on his pancakes.
He's being a good dad, though.
Yeah, if the pictures are any indication. Adam and I decided to get together today and go have coffee and hang out. And at the same time, my son Atticus was having a reunion with a buddy of his that he goes to school with, but he never sees. And he hasn't really seen this kid in several years for any length of time. So it was kind of a weird reunion day. And he's cleaning up his room and stuff and getting ready today, this morning. And I'm like, "So, getting all ready for your mandate?" Because he just watched I Love You, Man with Paul Rudd and the guy from How I Met Your Mother. Have you ever seen that?
No.
Well, what it is in the movie, Paul Rudd's character has no friends. And he's getting married, and he needs a best man. So he tries to meet someone. And when we were, flash backwards, when he and I were watching it, I told him, I'm like, "Now you're going to find this is weird when you get older, because it is weird trying to meet friends. You know, you're at work, you have work people, and maybe you guys hit it off and you guys become friends and you cook out or whatever. But you know, when you're a kid, you're like, "Hey, you want to play with my action figures? Okay, you're my best friend now." You know, but when you get older, you can't quite do that. And we got to talking about how weird it is to just meet people, you know.
Yeah.
Most of your friends have been your friends your whole life. There's a couple that maybe worked their way into it. But it was just very funny.
So you went to coffee at the same time your son was reconnecting with one of his man boyfriends, his man friend.
His man friend, yes.
One of his special friends.
Yes.
Where'd you go to coffee?
I talked up this place here in town. There's a really good mom and pop coffee shop here in town. It's like an institution in LaPorte. It's been around for at least the early 60s. And I'm going on and about how great it is. And it really is. It's a cool place. It's the place where I typically take my dates to, you know, because it looks cool. It's got a nice atmosphere. And plus, they got this nice. They got this nice big couch, which is suitable for making out on. So, you know, it's a good place to go to. I wasn't planning on making out with him.
Mom and Pop are in the back going, "What's he doing making out with that boy?"
But I wasn't planning on making out with Adam. It was just, I was worried if I sat on the couch, it might trigger stuff. So we sat at a table. But
trigger stuff.
It was funny because after I talk it up and how great it is, we walk in there, and I don't know about you, but I don't know how it is down there by you, but the weather up here sucks right now. It's so humid and hot. It's ridiculous. Well, we got there. We get there, and, like, their air conditioner must have been out because it was so, I mean, it was so hot. You got just sweating bullets in there.
Nothing worse than that. You're trying to, you spent all this time getting to where you look good. You're trying to act all casual and stuff, and then you got sweat rolling down your face, and you're like, if I wipe it, it's going to draw attention to it. But if I just let it go, I'm going to look like a big sweaty mess. Is he looking at the sweat rolling down my forehead? Why isn't he sweating? He's not sweating. What's going on? Is that what was going through your head?
It was exactly that. And it was in your voice, too.
Yeah, it was in my...
And it was at that moment that Paul wondered if he were to wipe the sweat away. Okay, Adam and I were meeting about the same time that Atticus and his friend were supposed to meet. Well, I got home, and his friend had just gotten here. So I got to watch the whole spectacle. And it's funny because they're just sitting there, like, watching TV.
Of course.
And then they go in, then I'm like, why don't you shut the TV off, go in your room, and show them your cool stuff. So they go into his room, and I, you know, resist as long as I can, and I peek around the corner, and they're just sitting there watching television. Like, do something. So they decided, after a while, they were gonna go for a walk, and they ended up walking down to their old middle school because they both start high school in the fall, which is staggering in and of itself.
This is exactly how it went with you and me. And I'm sure my folks were always like, why doesn't he take him in his room and show him his cool stuff?
show him your ABBA records. He'll like those.
Does he have any cool stuff? Hell, I don't know. What do the kids think is cool these days? If it were a sitcom, I'm sure he would have brought his mandate to the same coffee shop. On accident. And you'd been like, Dad, what are you doing here? And you'd be like, what are you doing here?
It would have been like that weird, that awkward moment where, like, you know, two people that dated the opposite couple met, and they're at the same, and they're just like, you know, like it turned into a Seinfeld episode.
It would turn out your friend Adam was friends with your son's friend's dad. He'd be like, Atticus's friend, what are you doing here? I thought you moved to Toledo. Ooh, awkward. So how did it all, so you're going to get together again tomorrow? Yeah.
Well, that was the funny thing. Adam messaged me the other day, and he's like, well, how about we have a barbecue? And I got to, when he said that to me, I'm like, it's got to be a West Coast thing. Because I have some other friends.
Like, you just got shit laying around in your fridge, well, ready to barbecue.
I got some other friends out, you know, on the West Coast, and they're like, ooh, look at me, I'm barbecuing. I'm like, you're putting meat on a grill, right? Mm. Well, yeah, that's a cookout. You're having a cookout. Mm.
Right. Yeah.
Barbecue, you put barbecue on pork, you know.
That confused me for a lot of years. And I finally wrapped my head around it. Now it doesn't even faze me. Because I'm with you. It's cookout.
Yeah.
Right? That's how we was raised. My mom called it a cookout. My daddy called it a cookout. I'm going to call it a cookout. But I have learned since that barbecue is not just the sauce. Barbecue is a style of cooking.
Yeah.
And there is a particular kind of sauce made famous by the good folks at Hunt's.
And Stubbs.
Oh, dude, Stubbs is my favorite.
Yeah, that's some good shit. I love Stubbs. But don't you think it's weird, though? Or why is it weird that you can't just go up and start talking to a guy, and like, next thing you know, you're like hanging out and stuff. Why is it? Have you noticed that? Because I know you had a whole big thing going with MP back in the day. Because you kind of had like a what do we do? How do we do this kind of a thing?
I tried real hard, but he's the most unapproachable guy I've ever met.
That's the title of his biography.
Yeah. This came up recently, actually, with my kids, because, you know, now they realize the absurdity of it. I said, do you guys remember when you were little how we'd be at a hotel pool and you guys would be running around making friends with all the kids? And you'd come over to me and you'd be like, hey, did you make friends with the dad over there? Are you going to make daddy friends with him? And I would always just say, oh, yeah, we're friends. Even though I never said a word to the guy. Mm-hmm. Would have been probably pleasant to ask him, like, hey, where are you from? What are you doing here? what's going on. Right now, I know that's a short term. That's like a one night stand, man friend, right? I'm never going to see him again. I probably could have pretended to be an astronaut, mm-hmm. but I just never did. I always just lied and said, oh, yeah, yeah, we're dad friends. I was telling the kids, I was like, it's just not something, it's weird. Some grownups do, but, and there's some people at work who I kind of look at and I go, I could hang with that guy based on the kind of music he listens to mm-hmm. and kind of jokes he makes. But the last time I made a friend at work, it didn't go well. So I'm really resisting making friends at work. And I'm not talking about MP on this one. Yeah. But
because you don't want to apologize for that next week.
Exactly. Exactly. If he even still listens.
The thing I learned about work friends versus people you know outside of work is don't put them in the same room.
Right.
I did that yes. one time. I thought, well, you know, because your mind goes, I get along well with these people. I get along with these people. Maybe what could possibly go wrong with getting them in the same room together? Well, the answer to that is everything. Everything.
What was that advice 15 years ago? Jesus.
I mean, the cops almost had to get called. Somebody went up missing. It was a disaster.
It was like one of the Bachelor Party movies.
All I know, it was so that this fight was about to break out, and I looked over, and you know Officer Nick, right? Mm-hmm. I look over, and he's doing one of these numbers. He's taking his ring off of his finger. Oh. I'm like, oh shit, I got to defuse this.
That's like a black girl taking her earrings out. Yeah,
don't make a cop take his wedding ring off.
Speaking of the kids, what I did last week, I was off, I've been off work for like a week and a half, not on purpose, but we all know that I took that trip mm-hmm. to DC mm-hmm. a couple weeks ago. Well, last week we played this little game called Let's Add to Dad's List of Reasons to Hate Camp. We went to this family camp up in Wisconsin, right? Now I can't complain. My in-laws paid for the whole thing.
Oh, okay.
All I had to do was pay for the gas to get us up there, right? So I was anxious as hell because, you know, me in camp.
You start hearing the flashback, like the music, the flashback.
Really? Yeah.
Some yeah, Apocalypse Now shit. You hear slow motion helicopter blade. You weren't even in Vietnam when you're
Charlie's on the left. Charlie's on the left. On the right. RPG. Matt, RPG. They didn't have RPGs in Vietnam, did they?
Your knuckles are just white on the steering wheel. Cold
so,
sweat.
I've told the story on the show before about Fairhaven Camp.
Yes.
I had my hat and my swimming trunks, and how the guy yelled at me and said if he ever caught me crying again, he was going to put me in the girls' side of the camp because only little girls cry, right? I was pissed at this guy. Probably the same guy that I had that paper puppet and got in a fight. Remember the puppet story?
Your puppet story got me in a lot of trouble. Yes, I remember your puppet story.
I'm familiar with the trouble you got in. So I was a little anxious. And then there was Boy Scout camp. And I had some bad experiences at Boy Scout camp. None of them. I was never sexually abused or anything like that. Just, you know, lots of mental anguish and anxiety, mm-hmm. right? So I'm going up to this camp. And it's camp in every sense of the camp word. Even though my whole family's trying to convince me it's not. And they're calling this thing, oh, it's an inn. We stay in an inn, and then there's a lake, and then you get to go to the lake, and then when you're done, you go in the inn, and they feed you food, and it's not good food, and a nice place to eat, and so I'm starting to go.
What you tell you?
I've seen these.
You tell your kids where your dog went when the dog turns up missing. It's got good food. And it's wonderful.
It was nice. You got to chase rainbows and eat bones. All of his friends are there. So. Turns out the camp's not too bad. It's not nearly as nice as they made it out to be. This inn is is basically a hot place that's really small. It's all a bunch of wood and narrow staircases. It smells like wood. It smells like camp. It smells like wet wood, and the beds are like small, hot, and hard, right? Not the combination you're looking for. So sleeping's not really something you do all that soundly at camp.
No, you got one eye open in case Charlie jumps out of the bush.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, so this wasn't camp's fault. I contracted a severe case of contact dermatitis in the poison ivy at my home about a week before camp. And the way I did that, I get poison ivy a couple times a year.
Really? I've never gotten it.
Good for you. That's fan-fucking-tastic for you. Thank you for letting me know that. I was wondering.
For the folks.
But I get it. When I get it, it's like if you were bitten by a mosquito maybe three times in one spot on your wrist, right? Mm-hmm. And it bothers me usually about that much. That's about it. Maybe a day, 2 days at the most. So I'm not really concerned about poison ivy. So there's a whole patch of weeds up in front. And I know there's poison ivy up there. But I'm like, I want to get rid of those weeds. I get the weed whacker out. And so I start weed whacking these weeds. Realize, oh, wait, I have shorts on. Ah, well, I'll just hurry up and get done. I'll be okay. So what I did was I weaponized the poison ivy. And it was kind of ideal circumstances. If you wanted to get poison ivy really bad, the way I'd recommend doing it is hurling plant debris at your legs to the point where you like create these little micro abrasions. Some of them not so micro, some macro abrasions. Some of them I would just call abrasions. And then mix in with that plant debris some poison ivy juice and like just hurl that at your legs too. And, well, I did go take a shower right away because I washed all the clothes because I figured, let me get this oil off of here. Well, over the course of a week, it just got worse and worse. I show up at camp with poison ivy, and it just keeps getting worse. There are open sores, like open, infected-looking sores on my legs, right? I'm at camp. Where's the worst place to get something like that, right? You show up. You know, like it's not the most pleasant of circumstances to begin with. And now you got this horrible rash on your legs. And people, here's the other thing. People who know me know this. And so I imagine you know this. I like being center of attention when I'm making people laugh and I'm doing it intentionally.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like imparting wisdom. Love it. I even love making a fool of myself. If it makes me center of attention.
Yes.
When I don't like being center of attention is when there's something wrong with me or people perceive there's something wrong with me. And every single person is asking me about it. And I know that it's the topic of conversation when I'm not around. I don't like that. It makes me uncomfortable. I don't like it at all. And it seems like every damn person on this island, well, it wasn't an island, but it felt like an island. I'm going to call it an island. Every person on this island was either a registered nurse or some kind of doctor, right? So every 5 minutes, I got a nurse walking up to me. Ooh, how's that poison ivy? Oh, it's not looking good. How's it feeling? Maybe you should go see a med check. Maybe you should go to med check. And here's some things I would do. And maybe you should get this prescribed or that prescribed. And I was talking to the other nurse, and she agrees with me. And then every 10 minutes, I got a family member going, hey, we were talking to this nurse who's over there on the island. And she was telling us that maybe you should go get that looked at. Me, it's not looking good. I'm just like, oh, my God.
No cardiothoracic surgeons?
None.
Damn.
None. Not even one. Maybe this little girl's onto some. Maybe we need more cardiothoracic surgeons. All right. So I went to the doctor, one of those med check places, prescribed prednisone. You know, there should be a way to get this kind of medication stuff without having to go to a doctor.
I agree.
Because I knew what was going to happen. I was going to show up. She's going to look at it. She was going to yell at me for weed whacking and shorts around poison ivy. She was going to go, that looks like a pretty bad rash you got there. Here's some prednisone. Why couldn't I just go get the prednisone?
Yeah.
You know?
I agree.
And other people, the doctors and nurses on the island are going, well, you know, maybe there's something else you'd want to look at and check out. And I'm like,
you're just saying that to cover your job. You have to say that.
Yeah, what if you had to call a chemical engineer every time you wanted to buy some Clorox to clean out, you know, to clean your sink? Oh, I don't know. Maybe there's some other things going on with that sink that the chemical engineer needs to look at.
One time I got stung by the one bee that I'm apparently allergic to. And
I'm not allergic to bees. Never have been.
Well, thank you for sharing that.
Never had a single problem with a bee ever.
And anyway, so
dude, I could cover myself in bees and have.
You could have like the bee beard. You see, you
I'm like the bee beard. The bee beard. Right. Yeah. Nothing. Anyway, go on.
So I get stung by this bee. And my tongue starts to swell up. I start having a hard time breathing. So I go to the ER. I sit in the ER for about 5 hours.
Get a brother, get an EpiPen. I'll take an EpiPencil.
An EpiPen. I don't discriminate. Got an EpiCrayon?
I take an EpiCrayon. Yeah, you got an EpiCrayola. It don't even have to be Crayola. It could be store brand.
After 5 hours of sitting behind that curtain, a guy comes in. The swelling has gone down. He gives me a Benadryl. Sends me on my way. And it wasn't even, you know, got home on the way in. I checked the mail and there's a bill from the hospital for a $500 Benadryl pill.
They'll beat you home.
The Caribbean. A vacationer's paradise. And yet this region was once a stronghold for outcasts, thieves, and murderers. A savage race that vanished hundreds of years ago. But what if there were survivors? And what if they kept their existence a secret from the outside world? What if someone found out? The island where civilization as we know it has taken a bizarre turn.
Who are you? I mean, all of you. Are you some kind of religious cult?
If I'd wanted to hit you, I could have hit you. You're not my father.
Stop this make-believe. Fire! Pirates? I know it sounds crazy, but you better believe me.
All those who have discovered the island have never been seen again. The island. The super thriller from the author of Jaws and The Deep.
Find the Maynard man. Cut his throat.
Ah! Mayday! Mayday! You guys wouldn't believe what the hell.
Now, the most terrifying thing in the water is the island.
By the way, prednisone is no joke. What is it with me and drugs that end in zone? I got the naltrexone, zone, I got the prednisone, I got the pet zone. Give me any zone. Any zone will do.
He's in the zone.
So the one of the it does several things. First of all, it works by lowering your immune response. Because basically contact dermatitis or any allergic reaction really is just your body attacking itself. Because it sees this foreign object or foreign substance and it attacks it. Right. In the process of attacking it, it thinks it's protecting you, but it overreacts and causes the rash, causes your tongue to swell, you know, whatever. What prednisone does is it suppresses your immune system. Well, as soon as I heard that, I was like, well, great. I'm probably going to get sick with something else then. But I can't stand listening to people about this rash anymore. So I'm going to take the prednisone. Right. The other thing prednisone does is it made me irritable. And I'm not sure that anything has made me as irritable as this prednisone did. And I made a connection about two nights, after two nights of having arguments with people, I was like, this is exactly what used to happen when I used to smoke pot and drink.
Mm-hmm.
Oh. When he smokes pot and drinks, he gets irritable. I was like, huh. So I was like, maybe I shouldn't drink. Poison ivy, beer. Poison ivy, beer. So I stopped drinking and I stopped being irritable. Well, I was still irritable. Okay, let me correct that. I was still irritable. Here's the thing. I just want to be clear, and I'll tell a story in a second. It's not that it made me feel things that I don't normally feel. It heightens those things. It amplifies those things. And then the alcohol, I think, lowers the inhibition to talking about those things.
Mm-hmm. I think you're on to something
so,
there.
So, like, let's take pot. If you smoke pot, you get paranoid. Or you get irritated with something somebody does. Because your senses are heightened and your awareness of what they're doing is heightened. If you're not drinking...
I never had that experience with pot.
Which one? The heightened awareness or the...
I never had the irritability. I always just thought everything was funny as hell. I called Michael one time while high. Got his voicemail, so a big long message.
Anyway, so it was, you know how you get into arguments with people over the wrong thing? because it's like a, it'd be like Three's Company. If in Three's Company they weren't arguing over some fun, harmless thing, but just like yelling at each other all the time. You go, oh, this whole thing was based on a misunderstanding. How funny.
You were suspiciously quiet on when I, because you know, you and I, we messaged each other on a constant basis.
Yeah.
Whether it's about the show or sending pie charts or stuff like that. We messaged each other on a constant basis. But you have been like MIA for a couple of days, and I was getting worried about you. So apparently that explains a lot then.
I was fucking miserable, man. Mm. Miserable. Until, so let's see. Let's see how it ran its course. So during camp, I was just trying to hold my shit together. I was like, I'm at camp. That's the other thing about camp. That's why I think subconsciously I think of it as an island. It's like I'm trapped here at this place, right? There are no modern conveniences. Why do we do this? Why do people do this? They go, oh, I'm going to go on vacation to a place with no modern conveniences. So I get back home.
Mm-hmm.
The rest of my family went north to Michigan. I'm home alone. And that used to be so great. I used to be like, ooh, home alone. I can sit around naked. I can watch whatever TV I want. I can do whatever I want. But lately it's become a combination of, shit, if I don't get these things done that need to get done before they get back, it'll be all this, what'd you do while we were gone? It's a combination of that and depression. add to that, the last several times I've been home alone, I got sick. Monday and Tuesday, this is Wednesday, Monday and Tuesday, sick all day. The whole reason I came home was so I could go to work. I was sick, so I couldn't go to work. I'm just like, well, this sucks. Anyway, so I felt better today. I feel better now. I think I've turned a corner. I said that a week ago as well. So we'll see if this is a better corner than the last one I turned.
Your summer is off to a great start.
I don't feel irritable right now. Yeah, this summer sucks.
While you were suffering on your island for that week, I was almost kicked off of Facebook.
What'd you do, man?
Apparently, Steven Tyler's nipple almost got me kicked off of Facebook.
Well, Steven Tyler's nipple has been known to do worse than that.
I posted about a week and a half ago. No, well, God, it's been longer than that because when I got the message, I scrolled and it was like almost 3 weeks ago. But I posted a picture of Steven Tyler and he has his hair all up in a bun. And his daughter was playing like this little tiny ukulele in front of him. Well, Steven Tyler needs to fucking put a shirt on. He's 90 fucking years old. He needs to put a goddamn shirt on. You know, you're not jumping around the house, zibbity-doo-bop, loving an elevator. No, you're like love with a walker. Well, because he's so old, he has saggy ass man tits. And the meme that I saw that was hysterical had something to do with, you know, Liv Tyler hanging out with, you know, his mother or her mother or something. Because he looks like a woman, and here's this fucking man titty just hanging there.
You saying dude looks like a lady?
The dude looks like a lady. And about a week ago, I got a message from Facebook telling me that if I didn't take that picture down, they were going to kick me off of Facebook. And they asked me if I wanted to offer an appeal. Now, I had a few to drink when I read that message. And I'm like, no, don't do that whole thing you do when you're drunk. So I wrote this real nice letter about how, you know, look again, that's Steven Tyler, and clearly he needs to put a shirt on because dude looks like a lady, was the message that I sent him.
Yeah.
Didn't hear anything back from him. You know, I figured, well, the coast is clear. Yesterday, I got another message for them. Apparently, once you've posted a picture of a man's nipple on Facebook, they go through your entire Facebook career.
Uh-oh.
Well, about 3 years ago, I posted a video. Now, the image on the video is very... The woman is basically nude. It's a very stylized, very discreet shadow cover-up. You can't see anything. You can't even see Steven Tyler's nipple in this picture. I mean, nothing. And I'm like, okay. So I wrote him back. I'm like, please look again. Yes, she is naked, but you don't see anything. Everything is tastefully covered. So I sent that off. And so far, so good. I'm not booted off. But after I got that one about that video, I went and I was scrolling through my news feed, and I belong to a lot of, shall we say, groups that will post pictures of women in various stages of undress.
Okay.
And yeah, because I ain't got nobody to answer to but God, so I can have whatever I want. And I'm thinking, these guys never get dinged, and you can see, I mean, you can see almost everything sometimes. These guys get off okay. I post Steven Tyler's fucking nipple. And what I couldn't figure out was, who the fuck doesn't know that Steven Tyler? Aerosmith were huge. How do you not know?
I think Steven Tyler's nipple was the name of a band in college. I just want to say
it's
that.
Probably at least the name of several college drinks.
I got to go back and look. Because I think what got you in trouble might have been the caption. But I'm going to go look.
Okay.
2 hours later.
Oh, there it is. I'm sure you're not the only one who posted it.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, because I found it on somebody's wall.
Oh, okay. So you posted it. Their caption says, can't believe this girl's mom is posing topless in this photo.
Yeah.
So there was no mention of, like, who it was or anything.
Except
like that,
you have right? to be, yeah. I mean, you have to be my mom to not know that Steven Tyler. He's on that. He's on one of those stupid reality shows where people sing and stuff. He's huge.
So here's my theory. I've thought about it. I've given this a lot of consideration over the last 3 or 4 minutes. There's like 2 billion people on Facebook, right?
Conservatively, yes.
1.5 billion of them are probably actual people. So Facebook, even though they have billions of dollars, they don't have enough people to monitor this stuff, right?
Mm-hmm.
So it's not like some greasy ponytailed geek was sitting in his cubicle like, oh, it's Paul Schultz, I'm going to say something about this. Somebody reported it, dude. One of your friends reported it because they didn't know. Steven Tyler. It was Steven Tyler. All right. So my theory is one of your friends reported it. Some algorithm took a quick look at it and sent you that message. Your response went to the same place, the responses to those, you know, the spam emails you get go, right? Just some place where nobody ever saw it. But your account was flagged for, ooh, let's randomly flag other stuff, you know? And so it randomly flagged another thing, right? So they're building a, like, so now your account is in the status of...
I got a profile over there. They have a file on me.
You got a file. They got a folder on you over there at Facebook. So caused by one of your Facebook friends reported that Steven Tyler post. That's theory number one. Theory number two is all these people, like these groups that post all the naked stuff, those are people who get kicked off all the time. And then they go create another one. They go create another. If Facebook flags it, they'll take it down. They'll create another profile, put it up again. You know,
see,
they know how to game the system, in other words.
See, I like my theory better. I wanted to think that Facebook had, like, titty recognition software to determine, you know, whose tit that was.
Is Liv Tyler actually Steven Tyler's daughter, though?
Liv Tyler is Steven Tyler's daughter. He was with, I forget who the Playboy model he was with at the time when she was born, but that's where she came from.
Wow. Yeah. She's way hotter than him.
Her mom, Google her mom. Well, he did too. Google her mom. I don't know what her name, Bunny something, I think. Or Bonnie something. She was pretty hot, so I think she got most of her looks from her mom.
Now here's something we hope you'll really like.
Hey, man. I think SFJ's expecting a spoiler-free Incredibles 2 review.
You've seen Incredibles, right?
I have.
Have your daughters seen Incredibles?
I believe so, yes.
All right, well, find out if they've seen it, if they remember it. Watch it, and then take them to go see Incredibles 2.
Is it good?
It was worth the 14 years we had to wait.
Oh, nice.
They fucking knew what they were doing when they made this movie. You, yeah, as a father of two daughters and a father in general, will love this movie. Your daughters will love this movie. Your wife will love this movie. It covers all four of those bases. Four of those bases.
So why is that? Give me a spoiler-free example.
Wonder Woman.
Wonder Woman's in it?
Let's just say Wonder Woman has done for The Incredibles 2 what Black Panther has done for all television, movies, commercials, billboards, you name it, since it's come out. So
there's a lot of blacks in Incredible 2?
No.
Notice how they changed the name from Incredibles 2 to Incredible 2.
It leans very much towards the girls. Incredibles was about Mr. Incredible. So deservedly so, Incredibles 2 would be more about Elastigirl.
Okay.
But while she's out being a superhero, doing all this stuff, Mr. Incredible has to stay home and be Mr. Mom. And dads will relate to every struggle he goes through dealing with his kids. There was a point when he's helping his son with his homework, and his son is doing math, and he's writing out the math question, and his son is like, Dash is like, that's not how we're supposed to do it, Dad. And he's just like, math is math.
Common core, even in The Incredibles.
He goes, and it was so funny because he goes on this big tirade about math, and my youngest, who was sitting right next to me, looks at me and goes, he sounds like you, Dad. It's so well done. Like I said, If you're a dad, go see it. If you're a daughter, go see it. If you're a wife, go see it. They focused on all the right cues this time around as well. The thing that got me was, as I'm sitting in the theater with my youngest, I realized at the age of 10, this is the first time she's ever been to the movies.
Wow.
She, and I'm like looking at her going, wait, how did this happen? How are you my kid and have never been to the movies?
That is weird. You guys never went and saw those little kid movies?
No, because I hate those movies. I hate those movies so hard that we just wait for video. We watch them on DVD or stream them or whatever. But the beauty of it, the beautiful irony of it is, I took her to the right one.
Oh, nice.
Because it involves daughters and dads. It's so perfect. It was just such a weird, perfect moment with her. And in fact, there's one scene. Now, typically, when I find something, when something catches me off guard, funny, I will laugh uproariously and shout out about three or four expletives. Well, apparently I did, because she pulls on my sleeve and she goes, "Dad, we're in a theater and there are children."
There are children.
I'm just like,
not to mention your children.
I'm like, oops, sorry. Well, she a couple of weeks ago, she busted me out on it because I went to her school and we're walking around the hallways and I swore. She's like, "Dad, you probably shouldn't say that. We're in school." I'm just like, oops. I got served by a 10-year-old.
Of course.
My one word of warning, non-spoiler word of warning for anyone going to see this movie is, if you're epileptic or prone to seizures of any kind, you might not want to see it in 3D. Because
is that your warning or the theater's warning that they posted on the thing?
It is also the theater's warning. I felt it was my obligation to pass it on. Because,
well, now you're responsible.
Well, the theater, I didn't hear about that warning until I was walking in the door of the theater and there was a sign on the door. I'm like, what if I was walking along and I got there and I looked and I saw that. I'm like, well, shit, I'm epileptic. Nah, I paid my money. I got to turn around and go back and get a different ticket.
I'm sure they give you your money back.
Yeah, I can give you an epileptic free.
Yeah.
As far as the movie goes, it was definitely worth the 14 years. It's a bit longer than the first one because they have to put a whole lot more into it. The plot is just as engaging. It's just as good. And it hits all the same cues, all that you want in an Incredibles movie.
Well, you know, every movie these days is at least 2.5 hours.
But I wasn't anticipating it being that long because it's not part of like the huge Marvel franchise. But then I realized it was made by Disney Pixar. I'm like, well, it kind of is part of the whole franchise. So
yeah,
it makes sense that it was 2 hours and 20 minutes long. And for anyone who's going to go see it, there's no after the credit scene. There's not. So don't stick around and watch these people who you don't give a shit about who delivered coffee. Just go home. Once it's over, just go home. Or whatever.
Not even the Ferris Bueller, like, comes out in his robe.
Not even. Which was,
what are you doing?
Which was
movie's over.
That was kind of disappointing, but it ended. It ended just the way the first one did, and that's all I'm going to say. So they didn't need a post credit scene.
Okay. All right. Let's all go see it.
You remember how we talked about how some animated movies force the stuff for the adults to keep the adults awake, and some are really subtle about it?
Right.
Incredibles doesn't force any of that. I mean,
it's part of the
yes
fabric of the movie.
Yep.
I like that.
Change the channel, Marge.
Well, speaking of dads and daughters, since I left the island on Saturday, Father's Day was Sunday.
This is going to be the island episode.
Yeah. My girls gave me the gave me some Father's Day cards. And, you know, usually they're just the standard, you know, card that you pick out from the thing. Well, there's an art in picking out the exact right card. I'm not good at that art, but my kids are masterful.
If you need if you need tips, my sister Sue is a master at it. Maybe she could give you some tips on picking out cards.
Nope, never had a problem with it. Nope, everything's cool. I'm good.
Okay.
So I posted these on my Facebook page, but just in case you guys didn't hear about them, let's start with the. This one's from my 13-year-old. For you, Dad, bringing you special wishes for a terrific Father's Day. Dear Dee Dee, she calls me Dee Dee.
Mm-hmm.
I love you so much and all the fun things we do together where you treat me like a responsible adult. That is what's special about when we go do things, is that we're both equal. You are so special, and especially a special dad. Happy Father's Day. I love you. Love, and she signed her entire name, first and last, so as not to create any confusion. This one is from the dogs.
That's a wonderful card. I read that.
The dogs are Poppy and Basil, and they each have their own voice, Poppy and Basil, created by yours truly, created by this author. And the kids have adopted the voices and you know, added their own. It's funny. Mm-hmm. I was talking to my friend Seth, who we stayed with when we went out to D.C. And he has a voice for his dog. And he's like, I like that you guys have voices for your dog, because what it does is it creates a personality for the animal. Mm-hmm. And then the dog, like, starts to say things in your voice that you would not even – it's not that – it's like you're not even making it up. It's just like, well, that's what the dog would say, right?
Well, It's like my cat Iris. She's Siamese. Now, if I were to give her like an Asian accent, that's just racist.
That's just lazy.
So she ended up with this like quasi Eastern European / just mean, angry, and she rolls her R's for some reason.
Iris, oh my God, Iris.
I scratch you.
So this one starts out with, I poop, you scoop. You open it up and it says, it's like we were made for each other. Happy Father's Day. So Poppy says, Dear Daddy, I remember when I first met you, I shook your hand and smiled because I knew I wanted to be a part of your family. And it wasn't my first rodeo at trying to get into a family. Happy Father's Day. I love you. Love, Poppy, Brandy, Vincent. Now, of course, my 13-year-old wrote that. I know this because it's in cursive. And it's true. Poppy was adopted by two other families before we got her.
Huh.
And the way that we got she was on her best behavior. She smiled, she shook my hand, and didn't shed. That's all it took. So this one's from Basil. Dear what's your face, hi, bye, love you, firm Basil. That's it.
P.S. thanks for pulling the mermaid out of me. No mention about the mermaid.
Thanks for paying for that surgery.
Ungrateful dog.
Under the sea. Grateful dog. That was my that was my pothead band.
Your head band.
And this one, I started laughing even before I opened it. Usually you read the front of the card, you're like, okay, where's the punchline? But this one, I was just like, and the cover says, this is from my 10-year-old, it's weird to see you pretending to be a grown-up. And the inside just says, Happy Father's Day.
There you go.
I was like, there is no punchline. Except she wrote, Dear Babby, she calls me Babby, I love you so much. It is pretty funny to see you trying to do something. Love you.
You know, This is why I like...
How do these kids know me so well?
This is why I like her so much, because, yes, exactly. I've known you for 35 years, and yes, I love watching you try to do stuff.
It's weird to see you pretending to be a grown-up. I thought about this card, and I thought, I'll bet this was like in the from parent to child or from friend to, you know, from a friend. This is, but no, it comes from my 10-year-old who knows me.
As they are, as
it's
they
are. Pretty funny
do.
To watch you try to do stuff. Other than that, I got a mug that says Rad Dad, and I am promised another present from my 13-year-old. She said she has to get supplies to make something. So how was your Father's Day?
It was pretty good. It was quiet. Me and my friend Glenn and I, he works at the Blue Chip Casino over in Michigan City, and he gets periodically gets gift certificates for like at that buffet over there. Have you been to the buffet at Blue Chip?
For breakfast.
Yeah.
The breakfast one was pretty good.
Yeah,
I think they stopped it, though.
It's a pretty good buffet, a pretty good spread. Well, his wife doesn't like to go, so for the past 2 years, this is what we do on Father's Day.
Okay.
And we're sitting in there, and we're on, like, plate three. Because, nice. You know, you get what, you know, you're going to get everything out of a free meal. And we started talking about, like, what makes, you know, there's that, what makes a woman attractive, and then, you know, there's the physical, and then there's the other things that go along with that physical that bump them up, you know, like for me, it's you know, intelligence. That's been well established on the show.
Being funny. Not being fat.
And I said, you know, I told him, I said, you know, there's a certain level. And then things they do that bump them up even higher. And he goes, he goes, yeah, like balancing a checkbook. I told him, I'm like, you know, I left that open for anything. And your mind immediately went to balancing a checkbook.
He's like, I got all the anal I needed in college. So yeah, balancing a checkbook. I got a lifetime supply of anal when I was in the service. So, yeah, balancing a checkbook.
But he's not wrong. He's not wrong in the least. But then my oldest, Arlo, she got me a couple of CDs for Father's Day. She got me the Oh Brother Where Art Thou CD because I lost mine. And then she got me the Black Keys El Camino because she knows me. So it was a good Father's Day all the way around. Lots of, you know, gorged and then listened to music. That was my Father's Day.
Love it. That having been said, you know, I have been here myself all week. And normally one of the things I try to do is watch TV that my family doesn't like to watch, particularly my wife. Though I probably prejudge her too much. There are probably things she wouldn't mind watching. Or at least wouldn't mind me watching while she looks at her online fashion magazine and design websites.
Mm-hmm.
But I figured Alien Covenant would be one that she probably would. I thought about going with Alien versus Predator, and I watched the trailer and realized I had seen it but forgot.
Mm-hmm.
Which reminded me that it's a very forgettable movie.
Yeah.
With apologies to you. Oh, hey, I almost forgot. When I said Alien versus Predator, I thought of D because I thought that's the kind of movie D might like.
Mm-hmm.
For good reason, because it's a good movie for that kind of gore and horror and all that stuff. But I don't know. I'm trying to be nice to D lately. He's not really making it easy. He and I exchanged Father's Day pleasantries.
Yeah.
And I was just really impressed with, you know, his kid's accomplishments lately. Mm-hmm. He's been deservedly proud
of
his kids lately, and I've been seeing that.
He got one out the door.
He got one, and I tell you what, like I said last week, 25% would be good. He's at 50. So,
yeah.
I mean, he's already got you beat. He's got me beat, too. So anyway, and then I saw these pictures of him on his... vacation out at the Wisconsin Dells, and I was just like, he's out there creating memories with his kids. Mm-hmm. His kids are going to remember this, and he's the perfect dad for those kinds of memories. Because he's like gorging himself at Paul Bunyan's restaurant.
Yeah. He's got he's good like, kids. They're good boys.
Getting pictures with the big ox and all that stuff. I mean, those are some of the highlights of my childhood. Are like standing with my family, getting those, you know, pictures with the silly statues and stuff. And I was just like, his kids seem like great kids. He seems like he's really happy with his family and his life. I was like, who would have guessed that the three of us would have ended up being like some of the best dads going, you know? And that's why I posted that thing the other day, because I started thinking about it and I was like, was there any indication when we were kids and like friends, was there any indication that we would turn out to be good dads?
There was every indication we would have been good dads. We just needed girls that would have sex with us.
Right. It's like, will you be a good dad? You want to have sex with me? No. Then I not for your children. Well, no, I thought about this and I thought evolution needs to catch up to reality. Because evolution wants, you know, the alpha male, strong, good at sports, because, you know, that means he'd be good at fighting off, you know, the other tribes and stuff. But modern times, and maybe it's caught up, because from what I hear, the geeks are getting laid left and right. You know, clearly we were the catch back in the day. Our wives, the women who procreated with us were ahead of their time, right? I mean, look at my wife. Seriously, look at her. Would you put her with me? I mean, come on.
As MP pointed out abundantly during our live episode, no, it is an emphatic no.
Yeah. So, which put her ahead of her time, because she wasn't looking for
She's a trailblazer.
You know, captain of the football team. She was looking for the great dad and great husband, and she got him, right? Mm-hmm. The captain of the football team, well, I went to Rose Hulman. So to be fair, he's probably a VP at some corporation. But your average VP of the average football team at the average high school is, you know, living in a van down by the river.
Uncle Rico from Napoleon Dynamite.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I was thinking of. I watched season one, episode one of the Napoleon Dynamite cartoon.
Yeah.
And I wanted to rip out my own eyeballs. I was like,
yeah.
How could this travesty have become a reality? It took every stereotype from the movie and just kind of put it on repeat.
Yeah.
So anyway, so my point is, when I sat down and actually thought about it, which is why I put the post, I thought, I'm with you. Yes. If you think about the values, we didn't know it. And I'm not trying to pretend that we sat around going, these are our values. And to be our friend, you have to have these values. Yes. I just think we kind of became friends. And seriously, maybe you guys didn't, but I thought, well, we're just kind of like the people that don't fit in anywhere else. So of course we're going to be friends. But in reality, that wasn't it. That it was that we didn't define being cool by, you know, the standard of the day.
Yeah.
Right.
Never, like, never have and never will.
Right. And, you know, anybody, well, maybe Andy doesn't share this value, but hey, everybody's got something to bring to the table. So we're not going to turn anybody away. Now, Andy would turn Chuck away. Maybe for good reason. I don't know. But Chuck, it's part of his charm. It's part of Andy's charm. All right. So I go through this whole post. Like, I'm getting tears in my eyes writing this thing.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, these three assholes, right, grow up to be great dads. And we still tolerate each other.
Yeah. Yep.
From time to time. I get done writing that. I post it. And I'm like, my relationship with D is now at another level. I sent him a personal message. Put, comma, my friend in the personal message. Because, you know, that's what you do. You go, happy Father's Day, comma, my friend. Because that's like a connecting phrase And I put this post, and it's heartfelt. It wasn't, I wasn't just doing something to try to, like, try to blow smoke or anything. Mm-hmm. I actually felt these words, mm-hmm. right? Not 10 hours later, he's telling my mom that you puked on her car when clearly it wasn't you, it was me, and it was him that we tried to blame.
Oh, good.
The one
times.
Thing I did appreciate was that he got the wrong, that he didn't say it was me. He said it was you, even though it was me.
Good times.
I'm like, that's my mom. And it's been 28 years. What are you doing?
She still won't
what
let
do you
Andy,
get out of this?
She still, because Andy wants in your house, in your mom's house. And your mom still won't let Andy in the house because he threw up on the side of her car.
She would. She doesn't even remember it. That was kind of my point. It was 28 years ago. My mom almost died from cancer and survived. She'll let anybody in the house.
Well,
and that is not an invitation for some
for
home invader.
Anybody. Well, yeah. Speaking of moms, my mom's comment on that had to do with how we all grew up because we weren't like, what was it she put? Like we didn't fall under the bad influence of girls at that age. And her and I were talking about it the other day. I'm like, well, mom, I mean, in our defense, there were four girls in Springfield Township, and two of them were my sisters. I thought she was going to crash. She was laughing so hard. Just
like. You're like, and you don't know how much my friends were contaminated by my sisters.
Yeah. So, oh, I didn't want to go into that because that first statement was enough for her.
You know, if you don't want to find out, you probably shouldn't. Probably should be careful what you post. All right, so I just wanted to get that out of the way. Alien Covenant, real quick. Mm-hmm. You haven't seen it, right?
No.
So I won't spoil anything.
What did you watch it on? Was it on Netflix?
I think it was Prime Video, if I'm not mistaken. Mm. So here's the only spoiler. And don't worry, it's the least spoiling spoiler you'll ever hear spoiled. Everything you think's going to happen ends up happening.
I hate that.
But the reason it's not a spoiler is because if you've ever seen a Ridley Scott movie, you already know that going in.
Except for Blade Runner. Because you just don't know what the fuck to expect when you watch Blade Runner. I think that's a Ridley Scott movie. You don't
it
know.
Is. I guess I should have said like his more recent efforts.
Okay.
Or maybe I should have said anything from the Alien franchise. Mm. But anyway, when you start watching the movie, well, first of all, it's one of the Alien movies where they don't know about the aliens,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
They're just going to colonize some planet,
yeah.
right? But then, shit starts to happen. They're loaded for bear, man. I mean, they got every explosive, awesome weapon you would ever want. And I'm like, why did they pack that kind of heat if they're just going to go colonize?
Yeah.
What were they expecting to happen?
Yeah,
right?
That's kind of a thing.
And somebody might go, well, you know, it's just in case because you never know what could happen. Okay, so why, if they were aware of the dangers that there could be, why did they divert their course and go to the planet that they didn't know anything about?
Yeah.
And the moment they did that, I was like, the special effects are great. There are a few hot chicks in it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's well done from the standpoint of the soundtrack is really cool. Because
mm-hmm.
for me, the soundtrack kind of took me back to like some of the 80s, 70s and 80s.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, it's got that. It's not like this pop infused, you know, it's not like dubstep in the background, right? It's kind of this like, you know, creature features sort of music. It's got the music's telling you something's about to happen, which
mm-hmm.
I kind of like.
Mm-hmm.
The music tells me how I'm supposed to be feeling right now, kind of
yeah.
thing. And it also doesn't follow what I remember to be the typical alien template, which is, you know, how the, well, like the first one and second one, I think, and maybe the third one, I don't remember, but there's like this alien and they all they need to do is defeat the alien, right? The enemy is broader than that. And the implications are much broader. And so I liked all those aspects. As predictable as it kind of was, I loved the thought, like thought experiments of, oh, well, what would that mean? And how would that work? And maybe I would do something like that, you know, that kind of thing.
Well,
so all in all, not bad.
So those are what I mercifully call popcorn movies.
Yeah.
You know, you're just watching a movie. You're not like, you're not like watching Dr. Zhivago or Lawrence of Arabia or Gone with the Wind, Dr. Strange. Well, Dr. Strange Love is not a popcorn movie.
Not, right.
Yeah. No, you're watching something. You're watching a popcorn movie.
But you're not, I would say you're not watching Aliens versus Predator. You're not watching Transformers 8.
Any Transformer. You know?
It's not a vehicle just to go, okay, let's put a bunch of people in a situation where they have to fight the creatures, right? It's not that. Because it would have been a much easier movie to write if they were just like, let's think of a situation we could put these people in where they have to fight the alien. No, they didn't do that. There are some really cool sort of broader themes that they kind of bring in.
Right.
So I thought, anyway. I was on prednisone at the time, so who knows?
Now that I think about it, one more thing about Father's Day before I forget. So, you know, you're a dad. You have your dad chair. Well, I'm sitting there in my dad chair, and I'm listening to my Black Keys and enjoying life, having a beer. And there's this horrifying, horrendous banging at my door. And I'm like, oh, shit. And I jump up. I look out my window.
It's Facebook.
Yes, it's Facebook. They're after me.
Take that now, damn it.
It's even better than that because I look down and there's three squad cars parked in front of my house. And I'm like, goddamn, Steven Tyler on your fucking nipple. I'm like, what the hell? So I get up and I go downstairs and I tell the kids, you know, like, you know, just go away. I'll take care of this. And I go down and I open the door and the officer standing on the other side of the door is my kids' Uncle Pat. He looks at me and he's like, oh, shit, this isn't the house. And he starts walking away. And I'm like, which house are you looking for? He's like, not yours. <He's> just, I'm like, well, that's good to know. But
if you hadn't been related, he probably would have shot you.
It was just like, what house am I?
How did I get in this beautiful house? As the days go by. All right, we're not going to do much better than a near cop shooting. So, with apologies with apologies to teachers, aspiring cardiothoracic surgeons, aspiring nurse midwives, nurse mid-husbands, Paul E.V.'s wife, and for Paul E.V., and for Michael Vincent, and D, especially you, D, you know I love you. Why won't you just accept my love without having to ruin it every time? Anyway, that's an aside. But especially for Paul Schultz, I'm Steve Vinson, and nothing, and
you
nothing,
just heard,
you nothing, just heard.
That's
just
true.
Heard.
That's true. What we keep inside for you. That's what we keep inside for you. We'll be right back.
mouse. You think you know people, and then you don't. Then you wonder, have I met them before? But it doesn't matter. You're just information. That's what we keep inside our heads.